Yesterday afternoon we spent a time in the Galatian letter, and I want to do that again this afternoon. This time on the theme of faith. I suggest to you that you do this in your readings, that you look into these wonderful books of the Scripture and you find the great themes that the Holy Spirit is bringing out in the various writings of these great men that were simply wanting to communicate the truth that they knew, and telling us how the great desire in Paul's heart, and I find a great kinship with him here, is to tell people how to come into these things. That as one goes round, one hears so many that say, yes, 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 I believe it, but how? This is the great way. How can I have it? How can that be mine? How can I be this? And as I say, I find a kinship with Paul in getting down to finding out how, and not only finding out how, but communicating how. Praise the Lord for that the Lord hasn't hidden up the way, but he's made it open. I'm speaking to some young men, or not only young men, but there was a young lady there as well after the meeting last night, and this was the great thing. How can I be in this? How can I? And I was saying this, you know, one of the things we've got to beware of, and we must beware of this, is thinking that it's difficult, or that there's some sort of little hidden secret that God's stuck away somewhere and is making it ever so difficult for us to find it. Therefore, we've got to sort of think and hunt and sharp brains. And I was speaking on this level too, and I was saying, you see, you must remember that God hasn't made this for people who've got their A-levels. The savage in the jungles has got to be able to understand this. God put it down on the simplest of simple bases. He just had to. The people who've never held a textbook in their hand on any subject have got to be able to enter in here. It's got to be simple. Mind you, he did say once, the Lord said he had hid these things from the wise and the prudent. And he reveals them unto babes. So unless a man or a woman is quite prepared to become a babe, they'll never, never get in. Say, what be a babe? You mean me? Growing up, he's maybe young. Could act like a fool. Well, that's all right. You don't think babies are fools, do you? It's only grown-ups are fools, surely, isn't it? You don't ever call a baby a fool, do you? You would never think about it. But the whole greatness of it is that it's put down on a very simple basis. And the basis of all, of course, is faith. And I want to take this theme with you in this Galatian letter. You might have thought I would have turned to the Hebrews letter to preach to on faith. This sometimes shows us how straitened we become in our minds. You know, all faith, Hebrews 11, you see, or love, 1 Corinthians 13. See, we've got it all marked out now in our minds. And we think that that's nicely sort of put away in that little pigeonhole. And what's all the rest about, anyway? That's the great thing. And in this wonderful Galatian letter, we come across some things concerning faith that we need to know. We'll look straight away, shall we, at the last chapter. You know, that's quite often a practice of mine, to look at the last chapter. Anyway, it's the proper way that ladies read books. They always look at the way they read. And that's the way ladies read books, isn't it? All right. It's the proper way to read the Bible. Of course, you're a lady. That's right, you belong to the bride. And so the proper way to read the Bible is to see the last two chapters. That's the proper way to read the Bible. See what the end is. Always. We might do that tonight. We'll see this afternoon what we are looking at here in the scripture. And in the sixth chapter of Galatians, we find this great truth. In verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So straight away, you see, we're introduced to something about faith and God's great household. Well, notice straight away, it's a household of faith. Praise God. Everything in God's household is faith. Everything. Everything is in it. In fact, it consists of faith. And when you think of a household, you think of a family, and you think of all the things a family needs, the furnishings, and you need a larder in it, for instance, or a pantry, you call it now, you have a fridge. Don't think really fridges in here. But certainly won't be any deep freezes, that's a fact. So you'd better warm up. But the whole thing is that in the Lord's house, everything is faith. If it's a pantry, it's a faith pantry. And you can only eat through faith. You understand that? If you say, well, there's the rest. Where we go to sleep and have rest. Well, you can only rest by faith. That's all. And wherever you work this out, we're a great household of faith. Keep that very clearly in your mind. And this is how we start, although it's at the end of the book, so that we can get firmly fixed into our head that the Lord is moving in this great realm of faith. God himself is a God of faith. Glory be to God. He's a God of faith. And as we do sometimes say it, let me say it again if you've heard me say it before, and if you come again you'll probably hear me say it again, that things that would teach you to believe, like in certain hymns, that faith is going to pass away. We're in sight, for instance. This is a lot of nonsense. Faith is sight. What do they think they're telling us? Amen. Faith's going to remain. The Bible says it's going to remain. Faith, hope, and charity. Love's the greatest, but they're all three going to be there. In eternity. Don't you think that eternity means that you reach a place where it isn't a place of faith anymore, because you think, well, now it's become reality, as though faith isn't reality. But faith is reality. Faith is the substance of reality. And so we're in this great family of faith, and God is a God of faith. And everything he's doing for us, he will only do on this level. Where salvation is concerned, where providence is concerned, you don't have to have any faith to breathe. God will give you breath. God will give you all sorts of things. You didn't have to have any faith to have blood in your veins or anything like that. In the providential realm, God has done these things. But when it comes to the realm of salvation, everything is on the faith basis. Everything is on this basis that I must come into a totally believing and fully trusting attitude toward God. Unless it just won't work. And God doesn't want it to. Only on that basis. It's got to be on a basis of complete trust. If you think God's treacherous, or if you think he's going to let you down, or if you think he's lied to you, even told you, hinted at a white lie, if there are such things, if you think that, there's nothing doing where God's going, he'll still love you. He has to love you until he gets you out of that stupid position. Because only by love will you come out. But you and I have got to see that the family of God is a faith family. We've got a faith Father, a faith Savior, a faith God. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It's a tremendous thing for our hearts to understand. So that when you go to the first chapter, for instance, if we're going to move about in the book, if you go to the first chapter, you find that Paul is saying, you remember those of us were together yesterday, we read this great 15th verse, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by faith unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. This is the verse. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Because, you see, they belong to the household of faith. And they knew that if a man was preaching the faith, there was something to get really glorifying God about. What it is, beloved, when someone preaches the faith to us. You know what the faith is, don't you? The faith is the faith of God. We're going to see it quite clearly in a moment. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith is. The faith is what the apostles of the Lamb had, the genuine, the real. Not a faith or a belief. Oh, well, they got some kind of a belief. Oh, well, everybody got some kind of a belief. I mean, some people believe a pint of beer a day does you good. They believe it. Well, I don't. You see, they got some kind of belief. And they believe all sorts of things, and you get in all sorts of groups that call themselves churches or religious or something, and they've got some kind of faith. Talking with a young man yesterday, he'd been on acid, you know, LSD. He'd done all sorts of things. God reached him, and God did tremendous things in his life, and he said how he was mixed up with a group that believed in Hinduism, and were going to, you know, you meet, it was Zen Buddhism, and all this kind of thing that our young people, under the power and influence of drugs, Mark, you can see where they're going. They get mixed up in this. If you want to get the wrong God, take drugs, you finish up in Hinduism, you see. That'll show you how wrong it is. And all sorts of things. They have a faith of some sort. But you know, beloved, the great thing so far as God is concerned is that it's the faith that you want. You need to know the faith. And you know when you've got it, because when you've got it, things happen. The other is just the sort of kind of beliefs that you have. Well, it doesn't matter about whether you believe black's white or white's black in that realm, you can so deceive yourself. But nothing happens. You're the only person that's affected by it. But God wants us to come into this realm of the faith. And this Paul, he got right in. from the beginning. He started to preach the faith. The faith. Now, as you read through this letter, you will find that this faith is put in contrast with the law and works of this and circumcision and all sorts of things, and it's contrasted with this old religious system. And Paul is preaching now, it's the faith, it's faith. You've got to come right out of all those that works realm, all the lot of it. All the things you've done, all the things that you've been practicing, God will come right out. Amen. Set no store by anything. Thank God for the man who said all the things that were gained to me I counted loss for Jesus Christ. You see the realm, you see the way it's going. This man had a revelation of the fact that it was only faith. But no story in anything else. Bless God. For every one of us who sees, as already remarked, it's the household of faith. Amen. That's what it is. It burned itself into this man's heart. Right in. He went round preaching. And when these churches in Judea heard this, oh, that's it. He preaches. Do you realize, beloved, that what has happened is this, that the Holy Ghost has come forth since the return of Jesus to heaven to bring us into the actual faith of God of the early church. That's what he's come for. Where it really works in our lives. That's what he's come for. Amen. And as we go on, we find the way this faith can work for us in our lives. Of course, we have to see, and see it very distinctly, beloved, if we go first into the third chapter. In verse 11, the last phrase, the just shall live by faith. Now, my beloved, then you've got to learn what this faith is, because that's the way you've got to live. You've got to live by this faith principle. You died for the lack of it. You live for the possession of it. That's what the Lord is telling us. We've got to live here. We'll make this clear, though perhaps I don't need to do it at this moment, that it's very little to do with whether or not you give up the job and join what might be called a faith society or something like that. That has a realm of importance. But the big thing is that whether or not you join a faith society or this, that, or the other isn't it, it's whether you've seen that your whole life has got to be on this principle. You've got to live by faith. The exercise of faith. The working of faith in your life. That's how you've got to live. And you'll only live to the extent to which faith is operative in you. Yes. Well, once you see this, you'll understand why you might have gone through the doldrums of it. Why you might have suffered eclipse spiritually, and why you might have felt this or darkness here or somewhere else. Simply because, beloved, somehow. And this is one of the artful ways of Satan. He brings the world and events against us to such an extent that it makes a subtle inroad into us, if we're not very careful. And we just don't believe God as we should. Amen. We've got to live by faith. We're in the household of faith. The father says, no, you've all got to live by faith once you're in here. So, oh, well, we're in the household of faith now. We're all right. The walls all around us. The roof's over our head. The larder's full. And so on and so on. We're all okay. But no, that's not what it means. It means that you're now brought into this company where you can have the faith. The faith. This is what the Lord meant, hinting at. It wasn't worked out in all its fullness then for the disciples to understand when he said to them, you must have the faith of God. You've got to have the faith of God. This is the faith. Do you understand that sitting here now this afternoon, and I stand here, we can all actually have God's faith. The faith of God. Not a second-rate thing. The actual faith. Just like we can have the love of God, which we're told it's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The faith of God. Oh, how wonderful this is. Let's look again, this time into the second chapter. In the second chapter, we read these words. We, verse 15, he's speaking about Jews now. We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by our believing in Jesus Christ. But that's not true. That's not what he says. We've believed in Jesus Christ so that our justification should be by his faith. By the faith of Jesus Christ. And this is why you see, justification is such a wonderful thing and all the things that God does. It's all done by the faith of Jesus Christ. All that you and I can have, beloved, and all that we must have in the household of faith is really the faith of our elder brother, if I may use this term, in God's family. By the Lord Jesus Christ. All that we shall ever have is his first. And all that we do is believe to be justified by his faith. You see, we believe, you take your salvation, that you believe when you come to the place of believing, you believe that Jesus Christ on the cross took your sin, all of it. You believe this, eh? You believe that he took your place. And he was nailed there in your place for you. You believe that, don't you? You believe that the stroke was upon him that should have been on you. You believe he drank the cup of God's wrath instead of you having to drink it. That's right. So you're justified by his faith. You believe in what he is and what he's done. That's right. If it was your faith that did it, you'd go to hell. But you have to have faith that you believe that to be it's done by the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't you? That's right. Oh, yes. This is where so many people go wrong. You see, they keep coming back and depending on their own faith in the wrong time. At the wrong time. Oh, and the devil comes, oh, I've got a good one here. She'll believe this, she'll believe that. Yeah, so it puts on the pressure. Blinding your eyes, that it's all done by his faith. Everything's done by his faith. Marvelous. Justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. We believed that his believing is greater than anybody's. And what he's done, done. Is that right? You believe that? What a wonderful thing this is. So we're only justified by faith because it's his faith. But as we sang in that hymn there, be justified by grace. Do you remember singing it? In one of those verses in that lovely hymn, be justified by grace, because it's the grace of God that should make available to us this amazing faith of this one man. He actually believed he could take your place. He believed he could. He actually believed that he could gather up this sin, all of it. You say, sin, what sin? Can you put your finger on it? You can't grasp it. But God knew it. Ooh, it's such a thing, it's sin. It has to do with nature, it has to do with disposition, it has to do with attitudes, things I've done, things I haven't done, things I thought, things I haven't thought, tones of voices, looks of the eye. How can you deal with this? You can't deal with it. But Jesus knew he could, you see. And he dealt with it. And in your behalf and my behalf, he brought all his wonderful manhood and all his glorious power to bear. And it's done. What you and I have to do is to believe that. We believe in him. Let's look at this verse again. Wonderful verse. Knowing, verse 16, that a man isn't justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. And so we go on. What a precious thing this is, dear beloved. To know that it's all him. This is the faith, you see. Paul got this. He preached it. He preached this. He would go around and say, hey, you see, you can't do a thing. And you've tried, haven't you? Well, good for you for trying. But you failed, haven't you? Yes, that's right. You see? Look, I preach unto you one who did it. He knew he could, and he's done it. This is his love to you. He knew you couldn't do it. So he came, and he took your nature, he took your place, and he just stood up to it all as if it was you, your number being called, as they say. And you had to stand there, and instead of you, he stood in your place. Faith is the outgoing of your heart to his. Faith is a glorious response of the soul. Lord, I believe you. And that's all that you've got to do. That's all you've got to do. Now, this is so simple that it's illustrated for us in chapter 3. We can read it like this. Verse 6 of chapter 3. Abraham believed God. He's a great man in the scripture, this man Abraham. I tell you why he's so great. Because he was so basically simple. You read the story of his life. We touched on it a bit the other. Did we the other day? I don't know where I was preaching. I preached so many places. But the whole thing is that he's a man worshipping out there in the Chaldees. He didn't know God. He didn't know anything. And God came to him one day and said, Abraham, called him out, said, go out there. So. How'd you know he was? Did he believe him? So he just did it. He just did it. He never had any apostles to preach to him. God didn't do any signs and miracles and wonders. You see, God didn't say, no, I'll show you this. Amen. And I win, you see. So basically simple. These complicated human beings. I hope you're not one of them. Are you complicated? I mean, do you ever stand on your head, look in the glass or something like that, because you're so complicated and upside down and inside out and can't begin to sort of fathom yourself? Well, beloved, this is really one of your root problems and mine too, you know. Can't be simple. We can't be simple. And this is the thing I've already said. It has to be simple. If God's going to reach these pygmies down in the rain belt of Congo that have never known what a school is, you see, all they understand is killing one another. Live on the bloody basic things of life, you see. There's no education about them. And is there? They've never heard of a chap called Plato. Don't know whether you have. I mean, they've never heard of Archimedes and all these chaps of the Grecian school. And well, what in the world does it matter about them? Hallelujah. They're human beings. Jesus loves them. You're a human being. But it's what you do, you start tying yourself up in so many knots that people think you're a conundrum. They don't. You see, the whole basic point about it is that God loves you. Get that deep in. And this man Abraham, he's taken up, you take this very thing that God is referring to here. Verse 6, 8, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. See? What a tremendous thing. That's all you've got to do. He didn't know what he had to believe about God. He didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. He didn't know anything about Calvary. He didn't know anything about sin being dealt with. God didn't approach to Abraham. Say, now look here, Abraham, you're a very wicked sinner. So and so and so and so and so. So he didn't say that at all. He just spoke to this man, and this man believe God. And this will explain very much in your lives, that you get all tied up about people who say, you know, I'm sure God's spoken to the woman. Of course, but I can't understand. I mean, she's still up to her eyes in this, and she's still doing that. But you see, but that's it. This is it. God's still working on the same basis. But what you think is that you've got to give them all the doctrines of Jesus Christ, you see, and they've got to believe all that. Then when they believe to your satisfaction, you're now prepared to accept that there's something genuine about them. What a lot of nonsense this is. God help us. Amen. The whole basic principle of faith has been shown for us in Abraham, that God just went and spoke to him, and he believed him. He believed God. Thank God for a simple human being. He believed him. Oh, it was tremendous. He believed God. And God's been talking about him ever since. God's been talking, he can't get people to believe him. You see, that's the real trouble. He'll get people to believe him anyway. He can get any amount of people to believe him. It's religious. He'll get any amount of them. Call the things thou believe, and they won't believe. But to believe God, that's what he did. And God put his name in this book, and you keep on turning the pages over, you like, Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. You see? We've all been talking about him ever since. Because he believed God. Amen. That's all. Oh, God, when Abraham believed him, he accounted that to him for righteousness. Abraham had no righteousness of his own. Abraham had been, most probably been a devil worshipper. See? Ur of the Chaldees, where the darkest rituals and rites of black magic and the black arts really, really flourished. The Chaldeans, I tell you, they were a bad lot. You see? And but he believed God. Amen. God spoke to him. He believed. Now that's a marvelous thing. And because he believed, when God spoke to him, you're here in this room today. Did you know that? Through this man's seed, Jesus Christ. You feel that? Talk about preaching the faith. Now listen, beloved. Won't it be wonderful if in that day there are some people there in the glory because you believe God? You'd better start believing God. So much depends on it, not just for yourself, but for the world and for heaven itself, if I may put it that way. Whether or not you believe God, would it have mattered if Dad Abraham had believed God? Would it have mattered? It would have mattered tremendously. God wants to work things in your life, and he can't do it because you, if you don't believe him. You see, I don't know whether you know this great truth of being justified. Do you know clearly in your heart, each one of you this afternoon, that you're absolutely clear with God? You're justified. Though God stood up on your behalf and you've been in the dock, you see, and people have come along, all the people that hate you and all the people that are supposed to love you as well if they like, all the devil and all the devils as well, everybody that knows everything about every detail you've ever done, and you're in the dock and they've been accusing you for about a fortnight with all the list of the things you are, you've been, your character. And God simply stands up and says, nothing wrong with them. I justify them. And he says so much about you that's so glorious that everybody in the world says, well, of course there's nothing wrong with a woman. What's wrong with her? Sounds funny, doesn't it? But that's what it is. See, well, really, is it like that? It's just like that. And do you know why? Now, do you know why? Because there came a time, and you hear God say it, this woman believed me when I spoke to her. And she responded to me, and she believes me. And therefore, there's nothing wrong with this woman. And up comes the devil and says, oh, but we were there, well, she did this, she's unfaithful, she's a deceiver, she's a liar, she's a murderer, she's a drug taker, or take a man. On the other hand, you see, yeah, but you see, she believed me. And I gave my son to die for all that on that cross. He's dealt with all that. You see, and because she's believed me, she's clear. You see? And you say, aren't you? And you'll say, yes, Lord, I'm clear. That's right. Justified. God declaring me to be righteous. God making me righteous because of Calvary. Everything right. Amen. I like that this afternoon. Now say whether you are or whether you aren't. This microphone can't answer me, but you can. That's what it is. Oh, well, I'm believing it. You're not asked to believe it. He believes it. It's just the faith of Jesus Christ. He's done it. You've got to believe God. That's what you've got to do when he calls him. See, everybody's trying to make themselves believe it. They're the big puffed up ones. They think they're the great. I've got to believe it. I can't believe it. I pray with people and they say, ooh, it's this unbelief. Struggle. They weep. I'm doing it. Tears have rained down because they can't believe it. Yeah, but God believes it. That's the important thing. God's done it. Do you see this? It's done. And it's all a gift. Oh, my, I could really shout this from the housetop. Everybody ought to hear this. Yeah, preaching the faith, the faith, the faith of God, the faith of Jesus Christ. God spoke to Abraham and he believed him, and God reckoned him righteous from that moment on. Amen. That's a precious thing, isn't it? Oh, to be there. Really, the trouble is only pride. To humble ourselves, well, we'll deny our own minds and deny our own this and deny our own selves and say, Lord, I'll believe you. And not in the state where you sort of, after many weeks, got yourself waxed up and said, I'm going to believe God. Well, it won't be anywhere like that. All you've done is killed yourself, stone dead, you see. It only shows that you're just about on the verge of a nervous breakdown when you get there. That's not spirituality at all. You just believe God. Amen. When God speaks to your heart, it's the easiest thing in the world to believe. When he really speaks to you, and your heart responds. Hallelujah. That's when God justifies you by the faith of Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to put it into words. It's all banal and stupid, but I want to bring it out as plain as anything. It's just as though Father says to Jesus, can we justify this one, Jesus? Jesus says, well, yes, Father. I took his sins, yes. Did you bear this woman's sins? Jesus, oh yes, I did. Can justify her to know? Yes. Of course I'm making it all banal and stupid, but that's how it really works. But old Paul says, you've made me a fool. He had to talk like a fool to the Corinthians to get them to understand. He says, you can read it in your Bible. Often he said, I speak after the manner of men. God will make you understand somehow. Get this into your heart. Done. Amen. Well, that's a glorious thing. To be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, the marvelous thing about it is that there was a time in history when this faith wasn't even known. See, Abraham didn't know the faith of Jesus Christ, but God knew it. That was all right, you see. He just had to believe God. God knows it. He doesn't work on any other basis but absolute knowledge, correctness. And we can read this in the third chapter, you see, that there was a time when this faith wasn't known. Because it says, verse 22, chapter 3, the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. I want to talk about that promise in a minute or two. You see, to them that believe. Now, if you believe, God will give you a promise. There you are. Keep this very clear, but let's go on with the matter. But before faith came, we, that is the Jews, were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. See, the faith hasn't been revealed. Not then. All the time that Moses gave the law, faith hadn't been revealed. Because, you see, the faith was the faith of Jesus Christ. Well, he didn't need to keep the Mosaic law in that sense, did he? He fulfilled that. Praise God. He's the fulfillment of that. And wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. That is right. Belong to God's household. In this lovely place where faith is working. And it's so glorious because this place, this household of faith, where faith is really working, we're told what it is in the 5th chapter. We're told, verse 6, in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So this in account is faith that's working. It's got to be working faith. See, firstly, the household of love. The greatest of these is love. See? But in this household, because of this love, faith can work. And it can only work by love. Glory. But it's got to work. And you've got to put faith to work. And when you put faith to work, and this is the simplicity of faith, as we've already seen, God speaks and you believe it. Faith works. Now, faith doesn't work you up. It isn't that faith works you up to this pitch or that pitch. It is with faith that it comes to this place, as I've discovered it, that it, in opposite to working you up, it gets you right down here where you say, Lord, in absolute relaxation, not with gritting your teeth. Lord, I believe you. I believe you. Amen. And you will discover in your life that if things aren't really working good because you can't come to this position where quietly, calmly, in the presence of the Lord, you could say, without sort of any fluffings in here or something up here, to say no, but really calmly say, Lord, I believe you. Glory. Alright, faith must work. Now you say, at least I hope you can say, I know that I'm justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. But there's something more than that that your faith must have, and this again we will find in the 3rd chapter. Us. O foolish Galatians, he says in verse 1, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the Lord, by the hearing of faith. Oh, this is lovely. Look lower down that same chapter. This is what it says. Verse 9. They which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things which are written in the book of the law that do them. Praise the name of the Lord. But I know it's nice to have a Bible given to you before you, when you're saved, if not before. But there's no curse on you. You can't say, oh, I can't, everything that's in this Bible. You're not given a book and say, no, this is it. You've got to believe this, you've got to believe that, you've got to do this and got to do that. You say the Bible's a curse, wouldn't it? The Bible there is a glorious illustration in lives, contains promises, prophecies, commandments, all sorts of things. But it's never putting your hands now, from the very first word to the last word. That's what you've got to do. We might all be understood with sympathy if we all stood up and said, let's burn these Bibles. We can't do that. But what the Lord does say, the Bible tells you that this is it. God spoke to Abraham and he believed God. And God speaks to us. Let's read it. We're still reading here. It says that verse 13, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It's written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, that's the blessing of justification by faith, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, in order that, I've put in order in, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now that's why you get the gift of justification, that you might receive the promise of the Spirit. That was the purpose of it. Don't you see that? It is so simply wonderful that God justified you. You mean before you were ever born, 2,000 years ago, it was all worked out in history. When Jesus came, God justified you, that you might receive the promise of the Spirit. Let's get this justification settled. What I want the people to have, Jesus, I'm like Father talking to Jesus now, I want them to have the Spirit. That's what I want them to have. So, that verse that we read higher up shows you how you're to receive the Spirit. You're to receive the Spirit like you receive the truth of justification. You receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. Have you got an ear of faith? Have you got an eye of faith to see what God's done for you? An ear of faith to hear what he promises you? Have you got that? Can't you hear it? God says, I promise you the Spirit. Something that sort of catches the sound, but it's like a big mouth inside waiting. Whoa, I got that. I was talking with someone the other day, and they said, and you know, this is one of the things that really sort of does people like me good. It does us preachers the world good. Because you see, I happened to be with him. He was a conference speaker, and I was a conference speaker. It's not when I speak with Moses with Norman Leeds if I'm in conference work. And then this, usually I'm on my own. I happened to be speaking at the conference some years ago with this particular gentleman. And lots of people in the conference, some in this room, made that conference. I won't say where it was. It was right up in the north end. And we were in this conference, and we were having a good time, and so on and so on. But I saw him the other day, and he said to me, you know the thing that blessed me in that conference up there? I said, no, I don't know what it is. He said, well, I'll tell you what it was. He said, I've God so greatly blessed me. He released me, and for the first time I was able to say right out loud in public, Lord Jesus, I think you're wonderful. Those that were in that conference could all be able to recall this. He said, Lord, I think you're wonderful. He said, a little woman sitting at the front said, yes, and he thinks you're wonderful too. Put me in my place very well. What am I preaching? What am I doing? Because I know where she got it from. She'd heard somebody say, God thinks you're wonderful. That's true. But you see, she said it. And this conference speaker, you know, book writer, I won't tell you his name, you can buy his books, CLC. I don't know where that commends them or otherwise. And you could buy his books. You see? Conference. Never been able to say publicly, Lord Jesus, I think you're wonderful. And a little woman. Because, you know, I'm not always going to say, it was when you preached on so and so I got blessed. No, fear it wasn't. The little woman there. And he's got to be sure wonderful. Changed my life. Now you see this, the importance of you coming to meetings and opening your mouth and stop sitting there like stuffed dummies. The preacher's no good. It's a little woman at the front. Learn your lesson. Take a rap on the knuckles if you don't join in. You've got to see what God is really wanting. And you see, there he was saying, hey, stopped it straight away. That's a hearing of faith. You heard that. He had hours of preaching inflicted on his ears. But that was the thing he heard. Faith. No. That's right. You got the healing of faith? Glory. If you've got an ear of faith, you can receive everything that God says to you. Everything. That may not be everything a man preaches. That's why they were so thrilled about old Paul. He said, he's preaching the faith. Preaching the faith. When he spoke, they knew that God was talking to them. Ooh, if there are any preachers in this room, when that can be said about you, you preach the faith. Not that you've got some faith sermons to put over, but that you preach the faith. When people hear you, they know it's God speaking. Because people don't know whether God's speaking, they run to this one, and then they run to another conference, and they run somewhere else. Is it the way he says? Is it the way somebody else says? Because he'll say that it's opposite from that. Yeah, that's right, especially on this vexed, very vexed question, if you like. Bible says, beloved, that it's the hearing of faith. Glory. Receive ye the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Oh, it's so wonderful to be here. Lord, I'm just listening to you. I can hear what God is saying. Can you? When you really hear what God is saying, you stop. Everything else. When you hear what God is saying, you believe what God is saying, your life changes. Take Abraham as this very example. Such a tremendous man. Look what it says about this man. It says this. The scripture, verse 8. Oh, let's start at verse 7. We've already read it. The scripture, verse 7 says, they which are of faith. No, sorry, it's verse 6 we read. Let's start at verse 6. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you, therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, now listen what this gospel is. Isn't it simple, this gospel? In thee shall all nations be blessed. In thee shall all nations be blessed. That was the gospel. Good news. Wonderful good news. They were all blessed. Marvelous, isn't it? You think what you can be to people. You believe God. When a man or a woman believes God, something takes place in them which is of universal blessing. The old Abraham didn't know this. He just believed God. God said, ah, bless them that bless you. Ah, curse them that curse you. He said, their nations of men, their attitude to Abraham determined whether they were going to be blessed or cursed. Think of that. One man living among them, and their attitude to that one man determined their destiny. What a tremendous thing. You think of it, brother. You see the enormity of moving in faith and what depends on it. I tell you, in your family, where you are, the people you move among, I tell you, you have an effect upon them. Whether you believe God or whether you don't, has its effect. May not be seen immediately, that's not the point. Wasn't immediately seen where Abraham was concerned. And it's worked out. So it is with us then, beloved, to believe God. Believing God is a simple thing. What is your need this afternoon? I believe God. Praise Him. Praise Him. Now it could be because, unlike Abraham, we're in a day when God speaks through His ministries, through His gifts, through the churches, through the reading of Scripture, as well as through circumstances. Much more than Abraham had. There was no church to preach the gospel. There was no Bible to read. There, nothing there. But in our day, it may be that God has spoken to you in the past, you see. And you've never really responded. You've never really received it. He said, so. Well, here's your opportunity this afternoon. Believe it. Or it may be that really this afternoon your hearing's come clear, probably for the first time. Amazing when things really become clear. I was once driving in a car with a gentleman. He was driving, and he'd actually, for the first time, he'd got spectacles on. He'd never worn spectacles before. He was driving the car, and we drew up at the traffic lights. He said, Oh, look, that red light's got stop written on it. I've never seen that before, he said. It's because he couldn't see clearly. And he was a lot colourblind, so it's a wonder we hadn't all been killed when we were driving. I won't tell you his name, lots of some of you know him. They're better. He actually saw for the first time that the red light that he was looking at had got stop on it. What do you think of that? When he could see it clearly. Well, I'd always seen it. I wonder whether he was talking about it. But there it was, you see. It's like that with so many of us. See, to hear really the first time. God said, receive you the Spirit. Receive justification. I've cleared you. It's all done. The sin dealt with. It isn't there. Done. I've forgiven you. Come on. Believe me. How quickly your heart comes down to a calm and a peace with God when it really believes. Really believes. He says, receive the Spirit. Yes, Lord. I will. I do. The trouble with them in is, you see, they got that type of nature that can't believe anything until there's a big argument to do about it and a big fuss. That's what they're like. See, but all the fuss was made at Calvary. All you do is believe God. Lord, I believe you. Amen. I receive. So bless you. Yeah. If you're struggling to receive, well, it may be that you're following the duty path. But somebody says, there you are, it's in the Bible, so, you got to believe it. There's the duty man. That's right. Now this man, he's not preaching the faith at all. But when you sit and you hear God starts to talk to your heart, and you're engaged, and you know you are. You're not struggling to keep concentrating. You couldn't go to sleep if you tried. God's seeing you. You're as wide awake as the man of Calvary. He was wide awake. He wouldn't even take anything to dull the pain. Wouldn't have it. Awake. Gloriously. Wonderfully. Alive. Dealing with your sin. Living it down. His life was greater than the sin that was put in. Shed his blood to redeem you. You just believe that. Glory. Don't you? You do, then? You believe? Really? Yeah, I'm not trying to whip you up. I do you, don't you? God. Now believe it gives you the Spirit of God. Can you believe that you can see? Well, he hasn't promised the Spirit to me. Well, you can receive the promise by faith, see? Cool. That's what it says. Receive the promise. Cool. Promise me the Spirit. Now receive the Spirit. Now you've received the promise. Go on. Glory. If I said to you at this moment now, you're taking a Spirit. Well, how'd you take a Spirit? How'd you take a Spirit? Holy Spirit. How'd you take a Spirit? What would you do, taking this pick? Go on, tell me. Now, if you were in a room on your own and we weren't all watching you, and you've got this problem on your mind, Senator, how do I receive this pick? Well, now, if it was a demon, I'll tell you what they do. They tell you to sort of stare. Now, just go passive. Just go passive. So you're in the atmosphere, and I'll take over. I'll tell you what helps you. Don't really investigate this. But mostly likely you'll feel a cold feeling coming up from your feet. Because strangely enough, the Holy Ghost came down from heaven. It's the complete opposite. This is absolutely right. I've had to deal so many times with people in this room. A coldness that comes up through the legs, goes through the body. And a cold spirit of hatred comes there. As a war. Fire on their head. Don't try and feel hot. And don't try and feel cold. But how would you receive a spirit? I go. Which is I breathe him in. I drink it. It's a spirit. I'm not getting old. What would you do? Well, do it. That's right. It's amazingly how insane we become when we start to deal with God. Do it. See you. Keep drinking till you're right full up. Keep on. Come on. Don't wait till you feel something going to come and knock you off the chair. That's right. I mean that. Glory. And he said, being filled with the Spirit all the time. Glory to the Lord. No effort. Believing that God's just waiting to come right in. Just fill it. He's not coming with a big hammer or a big sword or a big stick. He's not coming to bruise you. He's not coming to hurt you. He's not coming to do anything like that. He's coming to fill you loving. Overpoweringly, wonderfully. Have you ever tried to blow up a balloon? Have you? Hope these illustrations don't seem too homely or banal. Ever tried to blow up a balloon? You know, you can keep on. Bigger. And it's overwhelmed and it goes back. Don't go bang for a start. The whole wonderful part about it is that God fills you. Amen. That's what he wants to do. Just let him do it. Take right over. You don't go all sort of passive. You go cooperative. Lord, thank you. Well, it's quite natural, say, for their hands and arms to go out. Quite natural. Expectancy. Expectation. That's the Lord fulfilling his promise to you. And on into the great things of faith. One more thing, I suppose I ought to stop, although not too bad yet. In this same third chapter, we read this. Receive by the hearing of faith. Verse 2. See? Alright? Now, when you receive by the hearing of faith, You then, in verse 3, begun in the Spirit. That's a marvelous thing, isn't it? You've begun in the Spirit by faith. Oh, hallelujah. Now, whatever you do, don't drop back into the flesh.
Lots of people begin to drop back in the flesh. Yeah. Easy. They don't go on to the next bit. Yet they think they're holiness people, lots of these people. They begin in the Spirit, got back in the flesh, and they never get to verse 5 where they can minister the Spirit and work miracles by faith. They don't get there. That's what you've got to do, you see.
Gun. Don't stop there. Oh, I'm full. Praise God, I'm full. That's not enough for God. Didn't I give you the illustration of the balloon? Because then I'm full. I puffed a bit harder and it burst. That's right. You see, there's a place beyond fullness. In the great thing of God. And you can look, it's by faith. You've begun. And then God wants you to go on where you minister the Spirit and you're working miracles of some sort or another. We didn't find any definite specific one. That's not the important point, but glory be to God. Amen. Now faith working by love. Is that right? It's not only worked to bring something to you that you've received, but it's really coming a functional, working thing in you now. Faith. And the Spirit's ministering by faith. And I'll tell you how you'll know when this is working in you. Let me give you some of the little things I've learned, picked up over a lifetime, not quite yet, quite a long time, of going on, trying, seeking to with God. You'll know that when it's working in this realm, in the ministry, you're then believing for others. That's right. And you believe that they'll receive the Spirit. And you believe in for them. And you can't minister more than you believe. That's the great thing. It isn't somebody shouting. It isn't somebody raving. It isn't somebody standing up and talking in tongues on their head or anything like that. It isn't anything like that at all. It's when you really believe, then you can minister. When the thing comes real in other people's lives. Now faith is working. Amen. And God wants it for every one of us. Every one of us has got to be. Amen. Now this is this great realm of faith. It's the household of faith, all right, this. If I get down on my knees or lie on my bed or sit in a chair or walk and talk with the Lord this night, and I suppose I'd say, well Lord, I've worked for you all day today, he won't say, now well done. He'll say, did you work by faith then? I may not put it in this language. That's right. Got to work by faith. Faith works by love. Amen. You know, and if you'd been here this morning, I'm sorry if you weren't. Of course, you might have been somewhere else. You might have had more than we had, but if you'd been here this morning, the love of God just filled this place. Filled my heart. Did it, you? Please, I'm not trying to make a comparison, but faith works by love. Sweet and wonderful. Now, what have you received from all this afternoon? You belong to the household of faith. Hey? Clearly, you can't make it there. You may go into one of the houses and you'll find all the rooms are named differently. This room's called this room's called that. If you go to a place called Cliff College, you'll find some huts and they like faith, charity, hope. But in God's household, they're all called faith. All faith. Faith, household. Faith. Who lives in this room? Faith. Who lives in that room? Faith. Who lives in that room? Faith. Well, she lives everywhere, that's right. household faith. We're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's right. That's what it says in the third chapter. By the faith of Jesus Christ. Mind you, it could be that in a conducted tour of God's house. Oh yes, faith, but working properly yet. This one hasn't got as much as that one. Not yet. Well, what is it got? Hallelujah. So I said, if I said to you now, stand up, I'm going to start enumerating things. Stand up if you've got them. I wonder if I dare do that. Well, you say, I'll never go to that chap again. He exposed me. I'm not going to do it. But here's the great thing. We do need to know, beloved. God gives us these gifts. God ministers these things to us. We're going to have them. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm going to let's all pray. Let's move in on this great truth.